Hey, everybody, it's Adam of the Dollar Bin. We are here kind of doing a follow-up to a show that we did earlier. I don't remember the name of the show off the top of my head. It was something about collecting art. It was a spontaneous show that we put together just because Joel and Terrence and I were kind of testing the Skype thing. It turned into something big, and like I said, to follow that up, we have the are you the owner, I guess? Are you it for comic art fans?
Well, my name's Bill Cox, and I've comic art fans about 7 years old, and I'm the owner. I wouldn't say I'm the sole creator because my wife is actually the lead programmer, and I've got a designer and a few other consultants that help me out here and there. But it was primarily my idea to do it, and it's been a blast ever since we got started.
We all use the software or the website. I just started using it, but I'll get into that. But first thing I want to ask you is, I do a little bit, you know, we have our website and everything. I do a little bit of web programming and stuff, but this is a huge endeavor. And what I want to know first off is, what the hell led you to jump into something like this?
Well, I started collecting comic art probably about nine years ago. And I think, like you had mentioned earlier, there was a period of time where I wasn't buying comics. I'm 41 now. And during my college years and whatnot, I got away from comics. But probably around the late 90s, I started collecting comics again and was at a convention and picked up a few pieces of art, and that kind of got the bug started. That would have been probably around like 1999 or so. And back then, there were a few sites online where you could display your artwork, and but they were few and far between, and most sites were built by individual collectors. There was the large message group that I'm a part of, and that I was a part of at that time, was the Comic Art L. It's a Yahoo group, and they had a developer put together a site for them that was, it limited them, I believe, to 5 pieces that they could show at any given time, and mostly that was because of server space and bandwidth issues. So it was a nice place to get started, and for that group of collectors. And I think back then there were probably about 2,000 people that were, part of the Yahoo group. But on the group, all the collectors who had their own sites, they would always post what they called an art day. And these people, for the most part, would have a free site, like on GeoCities or that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So through getting an email from Yahoo that an update had occurred and to go check out their site, but usually by the time you got there, the free bandwidth that the person had was all used up, since it's an all image-intensive site, and you'd have to wait 3 or 4 hours to try to go back and hope that the bandwidth reaccumulated so you could actually see what they were doing, what they had posted. And so it was somewhat frustrating at that, back in those days, because you just couldn't see everything that was going on, and people were really left to their own devices, and that's why they were using these free services. I own my own web development company. I've been self-employed for about 12 years now. And so I looked at that, and I thought, something probably could be done to make this a lot easier for collectors. And also, being new to the hobby, I looked at it as an opportunity to kind of make people familiar with me. Because, it was just being new, and it was just on the web, it was really disparate. It was hard to get to know who the dealers were and who the collectors were. So I thought that this would be a good way for me to get to know people. They also, at the time, were passing around a sketchbook where they would try to do these themes, and the sketchbook was getting lost all the time and everything. So that was really the impetus to try to get the thing started, was to give them a better way to handle the sketchbook. And I would do like a monthly theme and just let people upload their artwork to it. And the gallery concept was just a natural fit to it. I knew that going into it that I was going to tackle it with the idea that I was going to tackle the sketchbook concept, but giving them unlimited gallery space at the same time would be, just something that was tied with that. And just see where it would go. And, if you can do the Wayback Machine and look at how awful the site looked back in 2003, but, we put something up there after working on it for about 3 months, and, it just kind of grew from there. But, and it worked out really well. But there was a long period of time early on where it was just trying to figure things out. There were a lot of, we've got a lot of feedback from the people who were on the Comic Art L about what things worked and what things didn't, and we fashioned it around a lot of the things that those people wanted out of a collecting site, just evolved it from there.
So I'm assuming, like you were saying, it's obviously evolved a lot along with the rest of technology and the internet over the last 7 years. What's your favorite feature that you offer on there right now?
Well, the favorite thing that for me, it's a premium feature, which I could tell you a little bit about, but essentially it's a lot like eBay, how you can save keywords, mm-hmm. and eBay sends you a daily email for any new artwork that, you know, you can bid on that matches the keyword searches that you've got. So essentially, we built the same thing into CAF so that you can schedule it twice a day, and it will tell you anything that's been added to the site in the last 24 hours that matches. It basically breaks it out by the keyword that you added, and then it'll say whether it was a gallery piece or it was in somebody's classifieds or it was something that was in the for sale database. And at the same time, we allow you to watch other people's galleries. So if a collector has added 5 pieces of art, regardless of how many people you're watching, you'd be watching 100 guys, it will list every piece of artwork that person has added in the last 24 hours, too. So it saves time, because CAF is big, and there's so much going on, and there's so much art being uploaded every day that you miss things. And so for me, you know, that's always been the coolest feature out there. I mean, unfortunately, we've kind of lumped that into the premium services, so not everybody gets to experience it or really see how that it is, you know, it's kind of worthwhile, but for me, that's the best feature. You know, on the free side of things, just for every collector that's out there, just the fact that we've never posed limits on gallery space and that sort of thing, so we pretty much give everybody, you know, free reign to upload 10, you know, 100 or 1,000 pieces, and we don't, restrict that kind of thing for people, because you know, as you know, server space is limited, costs money. And that's really, again, what we went back to, that idea of trying to replace everybody using the GeoCities and the free sites out there and give them all that free access.
Before Joel digs into your psyche, as he as he likes to do, you want to talk a little bit about the difference between the paid premium and the free section?
Sure. Early on, people started realizing that the site was getting used a lot. And so maybe around the third year of the site, I was getting a lot of people wanting to donate money, and I just kept saying, that's not really the way I want to take it. I don't want to ask for money. I don't know, you know, it's not really the approach I wanted to take. You know, being a small business owner and everything, I've always felt like you need to be service focused, and if you can give people better services, then maybe that should warrant a one-time try, you know, on the premium services or something like that. The more requests I got for donations, the more I started thinking about, you know, how could I spend a 6-month period of time, devote a lot of time to making some cool features for people, and then set those as premium. So the premium features, you know, like I mentioned already, the daily email that comes through. There's a lot more. There's some usability stuff that allows you to upload multiple images. The watching a gallery feature for paid members, actually, if you're familiar with the site, there's the all galleries list that shows you the last 6 galleries that have updated in the right hand column. Mm-hmm. When you're a premium member, it actually has a second list of people that lists the watched galleries, so you know when the people who you're tracking, when they're updating their galleries as well when you're on the site. So they kind of get, and I actually put that above the all galleries list because I figure that's probably really important to the collector to keep an eye on the other people that they're most interested in. You know, we actually do hide some of the ads for premium members. The bar that goes underneath the navigation is not there when you're a paid member, so the site certainly looks a lot cleaner. When you're premium, I don't know, I could probably dig through a little bit, but mostly they're usability things that make the site easier for you to use. You know, and on the free side, it's like I said, you know, we've never imposed any limits on the images, so that people can pretty much create as many gallery rooms and as many, you know, upload as many pieces of art as they want.
As a quick follow up to that, how does one determine what is a paid for feature and what the free users get?
Again, it's something I don't promote, and yeah. It's probably something that, honestly, mostly the Comic Art L members are most familiar with because they talk about it a lot and mm-hmm. wanting to support the site, so they do it. I think, because if you were on CAF today, you'd be hard-pressed to find a link that says, click here to understand, you know, or how to become a premium member or what the benefits of it are.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think the only link that's really out on the site is on the homepage, where it talks about how to get featured. In that upper left-hand corner, it shows a piece of featured comic art. That's actually pulled from premium members' featured art. So, yeah, it's not something, and again, it's back to that. You know, I never felt really comfortable about it. We actually have a lot of premium members, almost, mm-hmm. I mean, I think, 500 to 550 right now. Mm-hmm. But I've never felt like it's something that I wanted to keep reminding people, hey, this is a good idea. It's more something that that people who use the site a lot and felt like they got a lot out of it, you know, say they either bought or sold a lot of artwork, they're the kinds of people that would come back and say, you know, I became premium because, you know, I've sold X, you know, X amount of dollars last year, and I felt like I owed it back to the site. So, you know, it's because, you know, you've got places like eBay and other resources out there to sell artwork, and you end up, you know, you're paying them a service fee. Yeah. So people saw that as, you know, once I made my first $50, I figured that, you know, or whatever, I owed it to become a premium member. So really the only place to find information about it is in that featured comic art block on the homepage. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anywhere else, to be quite honest. I think that it's something that we've thought about promoting a bit more, because the classifieds are something that you get when you're premium.
Okay.
It's a really simple feature where, you know, most people create for sale gallery rooms and say all the artwork in there is for sale. So what we did was, when you're premium, you can go in and then say this gallery room has only artwork for sale in it. And when you do that, that's how it gets into the classifieds. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, you know, a perk from, you know, for being in there. And it also, we built another site called Comic Art Shop that essentially mirrors only the things that people have in their classifieds on that site. So you can go there and just browse art for sale. And it also has the dealer database as well. So when you go to that site, you can see about 40,000 pieces of art for sale at any given time. So it's pretty cool now in that regard.
And then one final question that I promise to hand it over to you, Joel.
Oh, no, please.
What is a Hero Initiative member?
We've worked with the Hero Initiative for the last probably 4 or 5 years. I'm really good friends with Jim McLaughlin. It's a, if you're familiar with the Hero Initiative, mm-hmm. they try to give back to creators who didn't, you know, have a retirement plan, you know, that didn't have any kind of thing to fall back on when they stopped working in comics. They've helped out many artists. I mean, recently Gene Colan, mm-hmm. they're doing some things for Ed Hannigan right now. So the Hero Initiative is just a flag that when somebody is a member, because they actually started, I wouldn't call it a premium membership, they just started a silver, like a tiered membership level where you, if you're a silver member, they send you a sketch card from a creator and a few books and a membership card. So anybody who's a CAF member, whether they're premium or not, if they let me know that they're also a Hero member, we flag their account as being a Hero supporter as well.
Okay.
And so that we're trying to draw recognition to the fact that becoming a Hero member, you know, gives money to that group, and they're helping creators who were working, you know, many years before today's artists and writers, and they're doing a really good job out there for those people, and something that I've kind of supported. We built the Hero Initiative site and have posted it, you know, free of charge for them since we picked it up. And it's, again, it's a very worthy cause. They're pretty much at every con out there. I'm sure they're at Heroes, and they're always at San
Absolutely.
Diego. And they do a lot of artists support them a lot, which is probably how I first learned about them. Just I remember going to MegaCon, you know, 8 or 9 years ago, and, you know, George Perez is on the board, and so, you know, he's always there doing sketches for Hero. So Hero not only provides this great service for people who, you know, for creators who are in need, but they also get these great artists to go out who will do sketches and drawings for the fans, and the donations go back to Hero. Remember, you know, can you get a guy like Walt Simonson to do 8 sketches for people? So they kind of, like, did an impromptu auction it off type thing, and you're able to get a full body sketch from Walt Simonson. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that Hero brings to, you know, to the fans, that they're, but they're really doing it to help creators. So that's what that's for.
I'm going to ask you some questions. And like I said, because I'm just fascinated by your website. So if I ask you anything you're not feeling, you know, I'd rather not say or anything like that, please let me know. I don't want to, you know, pry back the curtain too much into what's going on. But now you had mentioned the premium gallery. What's the cost to become a premium gallery owner?
$50 a year. I can't even remember how we came up with that rate. I was looking around at different memberships on sites that I frequent, and $50 seemed to be like that mid-range type of thing. And I also kind of looked at a lot of hosting sites that are out there, you know, say sites that allow you to create a blog and easily upload images. And, you know, your GoDaddy of the world out there, you're going to get a site for $6 to $8 a month. And so I thought, well, you know, $50 a year is cheaper than it would cost to go out and build your own site, even if it had some really great content management tools for you that came with the package. So we kind of looked at it like that.
when you first started up, you know, I've had to do the website for my business. Now, I'm not a web guy by any stretch of the imagination, but I know that you always, you kind of build it, you look at it, then you tear it, you know, you tear it all apart, and then you end up rebuilding it again. So what were some of the problems that you had initially, some of the things that just didn't, on your first go around, that just, I really would like to change this or that, or what were some of the big changes you made between, let's say, the first generation and what you have now?
Design-wise, like I mentioned, the site wasn't the most pretty place, and hopefully my designer isn't going to listen to this. But you know, it wasn't very modern, very cool. I mean, it was functional as a design, but it didn't have the feel that I was looking for. I mean, and even today, I'd say I'm ready to change it again. I think it always needs to keep evolving. But you know, the biggest changes always occur on the back end, the things that people don't see. I mean, one of the things that we're working on right now as a big change is how the back end functions for you to upload art and to manage your gallery rooms, because functionally, that is probably the only thing that hasn't changed in almost 7 years, is just the way you create gallery rooms and upload artwork, and then if you want to participate in the sketch, you know, the monthly sketchbook and whatnot. And you know, that's kind of, to me, I look at it, it's one of the things that I wouldn't say we forgot about it, but it always worked, so we never really considered it. The bigger challenges were just on the database side of things, because, you know, CAF has more than 500,000 pieces of artwork on it now. And so that's one table in a database, you know, with 500,000 records. And you just run into so many challenges you'd never think that you'd have before. I build websites for a living, and this is the biggest project that I've ever been involved with. And I've worked on sites for pretty big magazine publishers and that sort of thing, and large intranets for people. But this site just blows everything out of the water that we've ever done. And just think about, like, the most views section on the homepage that shows you the top items that have been looked at in the last day or the last week. We actually have to, on the fly, count, you know, how many things were looked at, and then order them by, you know, in the order that they've been looked at the most. And that's a really, you know, when you start thinking about the fact that you have to look at a half a million pieces of, you know, records and figure out how many times they were looked at, you know, and count how many times they were looked at in the last day or the last week, and then spit that out on the page and try to get it out at a reasonable amount of time, the number crunching becomes, you know, astronomical. I mean, what started out as a single database has become something that we split into about three or four different databases, just so that the load can be split around these different, you know, the different tasks that we're trying to do to show data. Like, all the searching occurs in a separate database, and all the admin work occurs in another, and we're counting impressions in another table. Just because if you tried running any of those things at any one given time, it could take 5 minutes to count the impressions that need to get done, and while it's doing that, it would actually lock up the site. So early on, we were running into problems like that all the time, where the site just growing far too faster than we would have ever thought. And it's not just the database, it's the fact that it's an image-intensive site, so the amount of bandwidth needed, so not only are you trying to flow data back and forth between, we have a web server and a database server, but you're also streaming all these images that people are either downloading to look at, or they're pushing up to the server to upload, because on any given day we have between 500 or 1,000 pieces of art added to the site, and any given day we have about, say, around 100,000 page views on the gallery, on your detail page. So that's just a lot of bandwidth going down and a lot of bandwidth going up, and then trying to manage all that. It was a balancing act, because even where we host our servers, I've hit the ceiling again. I've got to add another megabit or two of per second of usage. And, you know, those were things that I was always trying to hold back on. It's like, I don't want to spend another $100 a month on bandwidth. I've got to wait till the site really is too slow, and then, you know, a week later you realize, oh, it's just not—it's not manageable like this. It's, you know, people are not going to spend any time on the site. I'd say, you know, those are the kinds of challenges that we face even today. You know, right now we're rewriting some of the impression counting code so that we can make the most views work a little bit better and hopefully extend the usage of it. Because, you know, the cool thing about having all this data is that there's so many different ways you can look at things, and you know, we're limited in some ways by the amount of time we devote to CAF. I mean, CAF really is my full-time job now, but I still do web development on the side, and so sometimes those jobs take precedent over working on CAF. But we've always got something going on, and the majority of those things, unfortunately, are more the upkeep side. It sometimes makes adding new features take a back seat to just making sure that the site functions well. You know, last year we had to buy another SQL server, and I bought like the biggest server I could afford. It was $10,000 to buy something that had quad core, dual quad core processors with 8 gig of RAM, and even then, I mean, I look at it, we made mistakes with that. We didn't know how to set up for a system like that, and so we set it up once and it wasn't right, so we had to kind of scrap what we did and start over. And so everything's always a learning curve, but that's been the greatest thing about CAP is that not only is it I'm doing something that I really enjoy, but it's also taught us a lot about web programming and trying to make things better. But again, I'm always cognizant of the fact that there's always these shortcomings out there. And like I said, the admin has been the one thing that, because I got to use it, I've got to upload artwork through it too. I look at it and I think, oh my gosh, it's been this way for 7 years. I've got to make a change. It should be easier for you to edit your artwork. You should be, when you're browsing your own gallery on the outside of the site, it should know that you're in your own gallery. And if you want to change your description or do some editing on a piece that's up there, you should be able to do it from there versus having to go into the admin. I mean, those are the kinds of changes that we want to make to make the site easier for people who use it to post their artwork. And so I see these things all the day, you know, every day that I'm on the site, but it's just a matter of finding the time to work on it.
You said that you have a counter where you can see the most popular over the past 24 hours, the past week. Can you tell me what piece is the most popular, just has the most number of views, just total? I mean, the most popular one you have on the website?
You know what? See, that's one of the funny things. That's one of the bits of data that if you let me ask my wife to run a query, I could tell you, you know, in a couple seconds what it is. But that's one of the things that we actually don't even have on the site. But do I have that data, and do I know what it is? If I were to write the page that could do that, absolutely. That's kind of why if you look in the artist pages, we have a comic artist database, which is by no means complete. But you know, you could go and look at Hannigan, and I've got it listed. By you can see which pieces got the most impressions, which ones have the most comments, you know, and it's ordered by highest to lowest, and which ones are in people's favorite galleries the most. So the thing is, stuff like that, the data is there. It's more of a question of taking the time to go out and extract it. Because wouldn't it be cool to know what piece was flagged as published and has the most views, or which one's flagged as a convention sketch and has the most views or the most comments? I actually have all that data. Yeah. I just haven't, I don't have the time to write the page that'll show you that. But wouldn't that be cool? Because the one thing that, as a collector and having watched CAF all these years, you know, the one thing everybody loves is just statistics. They want to know how many times their pieces are looked at and which one in their gallery has seen the most and which one has the most comments. You know, and that's actually another premium feature is we have this thing called a dashboard that actually shows you all that stuff. But those are the things that gnaw at me the most, are the things that I know those things are out there, and I can assure you I have this list of things that I'm ready to tackle next, and those are the things that are on there are those types of data-related things, because I want to know it. I want to be able to see a page. I actually know that the page that got the most views was somehow hit by a bot at one point, and the guy's impressions went through the roof, and he was always apologizing, saying, I don't know why this piece is getting so many impressions, but I can't make it stop. But those are the kinds of things that the site really needs, because it's fun to watch most views happen on a daily basis, but it would be so much more fun to be able to filter that list by other things and all-time views and all-time comments and that kind of thing.
Well, you said when you started out originally that you threw it out there and then you got feedback from users as they were coming on. What features or what do you have on the website that was a direct result of that feedback? And as a second question, what did you put up there that you really were proud of, that you really thought was going to be a hit that just kind of, you know, withered and died, that you just didn't catch on?
Features from the users mostly were how to categorize the art. When we first started posting things, we didn't break things out by media type. And again, that's another shortcoming in that it's great I've got these features where you can categorize all your art, but I allow you to filter it on the site by all those things. You can, you know, the search can break down some of those things, but not all of them. The collectors really helped me understand how they wanted to be able to add their own artwork. And that taught me a lot about, it helped me understand the hobby a bit more about what things were most important to them. Features that I've added that didn't work very well, I can't really say that there's anything that we've added that was an absolute failure. I've started a few side projects that ended up not being able to be completed for various reasons. One of the things that we've always wanted to add to the site is the ability to properly categorize the artwork to the title, to a book title, and issue number, so that somebody can come onto the site and say, you know, I want to see all the pages from Uncanny X-Men 101 that are on the site, and let me see them in the order that they're, you know, see the gaps where they are, and potentially if people have artwork for sale, whether it's in a classified or a dealer, be able to highlight those things. We actually had started that project a while ago, and it just kind of it withered on the vine just for various reasons. It was complicated to work with the partner we were trying to work with that was going to be giving us all the data, and the majority of the code was done. I had people beta testing it, but we just ended up never launching it. It's still sitting in the back end and not released to the public. But it's, that kind of thing is a challenge because a lot of people don't want to give up their data for free. And trying to come up with my own way to, you know, I could write the code to make a comic book DB or a comics.org or that kind of thing, but that's a whole other project in and of itself. And taking the time to write that stuff today, there's a lot more features on CAP that are probably more important than that. To me, that project there we spent like 2 months on and never released it. So if I had a failure, it would be that one. On the bright side of things is, you know, I think most of the time the stuff that we've added, people have adapted to it well and wanted it. Things like being able to show off pieces when you're in a gallery, and I can list all the artists that you've added, and I can, even from within somebody's gallery, being able to order things within a person's gallery, you can order it by most impressions and most comments. The one thing we haven't added to CAP yet is, like, when you're in your gallery, the ability for you just to search within that person's gallery. As lame as it sounds, over on the Comic Art Shop, you can do that very same thing. We just haven't taken the time to put that same code over on CAF. And one of the things I remember in listening to the podcast from before that you guys had on Comic Art, I think somebody mentioned, you can go search for my name. Well, that's a feature we've never added to the site, the ability to go in and type in, you know, Bill Cox, and not only have it match any artwork that might be out there, but actually bring up, you know, a section that says, did you mean the guy who owns this gallery?
Yeah.
And have you be able to go there. I mean, it's the most trivial thing you'd think in the world. Because I looked out when we built it, you know, we built the site thinking everybody's there to look for art. They're not there to look for particular collectors. But, you know, there's a lot of people that love looking at Dave Mandel's collection or Albert Moy's collection. And sometimes they might not know to go up and browse through the galleries and look for their last name to try to find them in a list. If they could just type Albert Moy in the site search and pull up his gallery and click on it and get in that way, it would be a heck of a lot easier than having to tool through the site to find where things are. So, again, that's always those are the biggest challenges. It's just, I never even thought of it. It just wasn't an idea that came to me. And that's part of the problem when you're kind of developing, you know, on something. There is a lot of time when you don't get a lot of feedback, and you're working in a bubble, and you think that you're doing all the right things, and then you realize you just missed several steps along the way that would have made the site better.
That was pretty much my first time on the site. And, yeah, I really had no idea where to start.
Thankfully, I agree.
Thankfully, Joel and Terrence.
We have a problem with CAF, trying to figure out what's the best, you know, where do we want to take CAF? I mean, there's so many things that we've done already, and there's so many things that we could do with it. It's just hard to be all things. And, you know, I keep wanting to be more, I guess, more news and focus more as if I'm like a publisher. I'd like to be doing more original content. It's just, you know, I'd either have to bring in somebody to help me write content or that sort of thing. You know, but one of the things that I've always been most proud of is, you know, putting together that for sale database. If it wasn't for the fact that I didn't get 15 or 20 dealers to adopt the platform that we put together that manages dealer websites, and then we're able to pool all that data onto CAF, because that really was, I mean, back in the day, like I mentioned, when you were looking for art to buy, not only was there really no good central place as a jumping point to go find all those sites, you know, you're Googling comic art for sale and things like that, trying to find all the dealers, big and small. That's why I looked at it and said, you know, it would be, if I could come up with a way for the dealers to come up, you know, and adopt this platform, we could actually create a central location for people to go and find all the artwork they want to buy. And started kind of slow, but even in the last month, I've launched two new dealer sites, and I probably have another 3 or 4 potential dealers that we'll be doing work with. But, you know, it's such a time saver. There's guys who I know I'll never convert, and a couple really large dealers, and I've even tried convincing them, you know, just give me a new database once a month, and I'll import it for you, and I'll give you all this free traffic, you know, linking out of there. And I mean, it's hard to convince people to do something even when you're willing to do it for free. But the nice thing about with what we've done with the dealer stuff is that because we've built all the sites and we host all those sites, the network's right there. Whenever they update their inventory, it automatically gets updated on CAF.
Yeah.
So all the collectors know that I don't have to sit there and look at Albert Moy's What's New page to see what he just added. I mean, I can see the moment Albert adds a new piece to the site. I mean, in the early days, I was finding artwork to buy you know, all the time because, you know, I'd see Fanfare would update his site or I'd get it in my the email alert because that was the neat thing. For me, just as my own, like, checking mechanism, I get an email every hour. So I could browse through there, and if the word John Byrne X-Men got hit on, I'd see that there was a for sale piece. So I could go see it, and I know that I was seeing it before anybody else because not going to know it's there until either the dealer sends out an email announcement about new stuff they posted or, you know, another savvy collector happened to be sitting there on CAF and saw it happen at the same time. For me, you know, I think I kind of helped just make finding artwork easier in that regard. I mean, and again, there's still a lot more things we can do to make it even better. But for me as a collector, I think that CAF has helped people find things a lot easier than they had in the past.
Yeah. No, I can definitely tell you that's been extremely helpful to me. I know I've found a couple, 3-4 pieces doing that that saved me, you know, literally hours on the internet checking every dealer's website and looking, okay, where's the new stuff on this guy's website? Where's this website? It's nice to have it all in one place. Thank you for doing that, by the way.
Oh, no problem. It's helped. Like I said, if it helps, that's the thing. I try always looking at stuff and saying, what would I want to do? You know, what would I like the site to do, and what would be the next cool thing that would help me as a collector? Because, you know, if I knew it was going to help me, it was going to help everybody else. And there's always some criticisms about CAF that old-time collectors look at CAF and say they shouldn't think of, you know, I think new collectors look at CAF as the center of the universe and everything. And the thing I always try to remind everybody is that collecting artwork is social. I mean, you know, whether you're buying from another collector, or you're going to a con and you're buying directly from an artist, or you're doing a trade with another collector that you've set up in a meeting over at a particular con or whatnot, or you're buying direct from a dealer, you know, all these things involve, you know, communication. And a lot of the older guys who are used to, you know, who grew up through the day of direct mailings and faxes, and, you know, because, you know, before the internet, they were putting in ads in the Comic Buyer's Guide and the Comics Journal. And, you know, it was the smart guys who were collecting back in the day would get those things express mailed to them versus ground, so that they'd get it a day or two before the rest of the guys collecting. You know, that's how you got the scoop on everybody else about what other dealers had for sale back in the day. You know, and now CAF makes it happen for everybody with the dealers that we work with directly. You know, it happens immediately. And so it's just totally changed the way people, you know, used to look for art. And a lot of the older guys look at it and say, well, I think too many people rely on CAF as being their only thing that they interact with in the hobby. But just flat out, I mean, as you guys know, it's social. I mean, if you're going to buy art, you're talking to somebody, and half the fun is going to the cons to actually talk to the artist to buy work from.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's mainly, I mean, like, who doesn't want to show off their sketchbook? When we did that show, like I said, it was probably the first time I'd been on there. I now have 32 pieces up there, and I've got a few more to put up. And I love it because I can say, hey, this piece I've got is awesome. Go to Comic Art Fans and check it out, instead of going, let me try to remember my sketchbook next time I come up.
Right, exactly. Well, that was the thing. That was where, when we built CAF, I always felt like we were being, as a collector, I was being robbed of the ability to see all these things, because you just knew that, I mean, you know, I came into the hobby, you know, say in, you know, 1999 or 2000, and just thinking of all the con sketches that have been done that we'll never get to see. I mean, when I was, I'm 41 now, and when I was in my early teens, I was going to conventions, and I remember trying to get sketches from Walt Simonson. But, you know, just remembering the fact that these guys were doing con sketches back in the 70s and the, you know, in the 80s, and there's no place out on the web to see these things. And that's, so that's, you know, I looked at it as if, you know, I was a web developer at the time. I had, you know, had my own web servers, and I thought, you know, this is going to be my entrance into everything, because, you know, it's the one thing that the hobby just really needs, is just to let everybody who can, you know, post what they've got, because you knew that there's just all these gems that were would be squirreled away that you'd never get to see. And I mean, I always laugh. I'm on the homepage of CAF right now. Mm-hmm. The featured piece is the like the splash page to Uncanny X-Men 101 by Cockrum, where Phoenix is coming out of the water. You know, I mean, I haven't seen that piece on here in a year, but it's so cool to actually think that that piece is on there. And you know, if I go over to Daniel Lang's gallery, he's got another page from that same book. You know, but 10 years ago, you'd never gotten to see these unless that guy happened to bring his portfolio with him. And the thing is that so much of this art is so valuable. Even 10 years ago, people weren't, you know, they weren't carrying all this stuff with them unless they were a dealer. So, you know, if you weren't really good friends with these guys, you know, you weren't going to see it. There were, even when I started collecting, I live really close to the guy, Mike Berkey, who owns RareMediaMan.com. And probably like 7 years ago, he had some get-together for people who are out here in Ohio, which is where I'm at, in Northeast mm-hmm. Ohio. And it was just so amazing to go there, and there was probably about 8 or 9 people, but everybody brought their portfolios, and you just got to see some of the most amazing artwork that I definitely wasn't on CAF at the time. And nobody even at that time even really knew who I was. But that was the kind of thing where you'd get together and share stuff that, you know, I looked at CAF and said, you know, there's got to be a way for us to make that kind of experience for people. You know, we didn't have comments on pieces of art early on. That's something that really didn't get added until probably like 3 years ago. So, you know, but those were the social aspects that the site was missing, that, you know, that interaction that could happen when you were at a con or doing some kind of a get-together like I just mentioned. And those are also the things that are hot and high on our want list, is to do some better jobs with the social aspect of the site. You know, we've experimented a couple times with message boards on there, but I've always turned them off because typically we were buying third-party products that just didn't work very well, didn't integrate well with the site. So, you know, that's something that I would say something that we'll probably add by summertime, something that we'll come up with our own that will integrate well with the site, so that we just give everybody a different way of, you know, getting in touch and talking about comic art. Because if you're not familiar with the Comic Art L list, it really is the best place online to actually learn about collecting, because most of the guys on there have been on there for a really long time. They know everybody. Any question you ask is about the hobby, about how, you know, the treatment of art, to maybe getting something restored. Those, you know, they've always got an answer for, you know, based on where you live, you know, who to go and talk to. But those are the things that are missing from CAF, you know, the ability to carry on those conversations and impart some wisdom, from people, from collectors to other people. And that's really high on our list as something to achieve this year.
As a collector yourself, have you found any pieces that you wanted off your own website that you bought?
Oh, yeah. Well, I bought pieces from dealers that, you know, that popped up on the for sale list all the time. Between collectors, I can't think of any direct purchases that I've made from collectors. I get offers all the time to buy stuff. And my collection used to be a lot bigger. I was buying like crazy in my first 7 years. And a couple years ago, my wife and I actually decided to build a miniature golf course in Ohio, which was probably poor timing considering the economy. But I ended up selling a lot of it. I used to own the cover to New X-Men 114, you know, the first one that Frank Quitely did. And I had the Adam Hughes Wizard cover with Jean Grey and Emma Frost, and sold all those. And I sold all those through CAF, essentially. So as a vehicle to sell art, it's worked really good. And I know a lot of guys that have said similar things. They haven't made a lot of purchases through CAF, but CAF works really good when you want to unload something. That's where all the buyers are. So I can attest to that. It worked really well. I was able to circumvent half of the money I needed to raise from going to eBay and just selling direct to collectors off of the site. So, yeah, purchases, I don't think I've really made too many. I've made connections with dealers and done commissions and, you know, had a few things like that done. So, you know, and honestly, when we do a lot of dealer sites, it's not always for cash, too. That's usually for trade. So I usually end up getting something nice out of doing that work as well. So not only do I kind of get another dealer to work with and get their data to be part of everything that we're working on, but usually I get a few nice pieces of art in the process.
What's your favorite piece that you have in your collection right now?
That would be tough. Probably got a couple Adam Hughes pieces. There was one that my wife actually got for me as a Father's Day gift at Heroes, actually, I think in 2004. And it's a Jean Grey sketch like a first day, so she's not even in costume. She's kind of as if she was just arriving at the Xavier Institute, and she's got all her stuff floating around her. Like, she's got her it's actually on the wall here. She's got her teddy bears floating in the air with a suitcase beside it and a pet carrier with a paw sticking out. I mean, total Adam Hughes-type humor.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was back in the day when I'd given up getting Adam Hughes sketches, and I and my wife knew that. And we had our son with us at the time, and so I had him in a stroller, and I was off someplace else, and she actually went over and talked to him and worked everything out, and I got the best sketch I ever got was from that. So, you know, but, you know, it's those kinds of things that, you know, it's always surprising, because I don't know what she said to Adam to make it make it happen, because that was actually even before, like, Adam worked with Allison, for instance. I think
yeah.
that was before she started helping him at the cons and everything. But
well, I know that we've talked about, like, at Heroes Con now, to get an Adam Hughes sketch, you have to, you know, get there 4 a.m, he has to want to do your sketch, you have to get picked from, like, a raffle, and you still have to pay the X number of dollars for it.
Right, right, exactly. And, you know, I mean, I think, and it's totally true. The thing is, you could spend $400 for it, and it's, you know, an Adam Hughes sketch is always going to be worth double that or quadruple that, you know, without question, depending on the subject matter. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, the neat thing that we have on CAF is you can go through and search market data. I've got a relationship with Heritage where I've gotten all of their data. I've had a long-standing relationship with eBay, and I've got eBay data from 2005 to current. We actually just pull their sales data every day now. But mm-hmm. so the neat thing is, you can actually go in there and search on Adam Hughes and organize it by highest price to lowest, and you'll see con sketches are up there. You know, it's published pieces, obviously, go for a lot more.
Yeah.
But you can go through there and just kind of gauge what the value of his work is, or anybody's work. And that's kind of the neat thing too with the market data. Sometimes we don't have all the images, and sometimes it could be a little bit better organized, I guess. But the nice thing about it is, a lot of people, you know, never knew if a page existed. Now you can go to market data and scan. I think we have like 200,000 sales records in there, so you can pretty much, you know, go in and see if this Frank Miller Daredevil page was ever on the market. And even just knowing that can help keep a collector going, you know, hoping that he's going to find that particular page, or just maybe he just wants one page from that book, so he's going to type in, you know, Miller Daredevil, you know, 165, and you know, he can find out that there's been, you know, 10 pages on the market in the last 5 years. And so some cases even track it back to who bought it or maybe who sold it, and that'll give him insight into maybe where his quest to find that one page is going to lead him, so he can pick up that piece of art. You know, I mean, but the thing is, a lot of that stuff, the neat thing about building a site this big is that you just never know how people are going to use it. You build it one way with the idea that people are going to use it one way, and I, like artists using the site, never saw that as something that was going to happen. And then the next thing you know, you've got Steve Rude and Gene Colan and who else is on? I mean, there's just so many, I can't even begin to, you know, Tim Townsend uses it, a lot of Jim Chang, you know, Joe Rubenstein, mm-hmm. and you name it, there's a ton of artists on there that use it now as a means of selling their artwork too. So, you know, that was a totally, you know, I'm just thinking collectors and at the time not even selling artwork, and here comes a bunch of you know, artists that saw it as a really, you know, neat thing to be able to use the site in that way. So that's always the fun thing about how when you put something like this together, you just never know what people are going to get out of it, because all of you people email me and talk and say, you know, I'm doing this and it's just not doing what I want, and I'm like, I'll email the guy back and I'm like, I never thought anybody would even think of doing that or want to do it for that, but it makes a lot of sense. So I'll put it on my wish list of things that you can do.
Well, Joe Rubenstein had always been on my list of people to talk to, and I posted a Mark Teixeira scroll Wolverine page up there, and Joe sent me an email and just said, basically, you know, I've inked the guy, right? And I'll be glad to ink it for you. And that's kind of where I started talking to him, and I got a commission from him, and he agreed to sit down and do an interview with us about a month and a half ago. So that's kind of how we got into meeting with him. So you can make a lot of connections through this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, you know, you meet people here, and then you end up meeting them at cons, and it's a big part of collecting art, and just comics, and collecting comics in general. Comics are a little different. I mean, when you're buying art directly from people, it's a little bit more personal. You know, comics, you have a relationship with the guy who runs your comic shop, but when you're buying art, you know, it expands out to so many different people, whether they're collectors or the artists or the dealers. And I go to San Diego every year, and it's half of the time I'm there, I'm either, you know, one half of it I'm spent spent talking with the dealers and just, going out and having lunch or whatnot, or talking to the artists and, getting to meet people that I've emailed with for years and never gotten the chance to actually get some FaceTime with. So Cap has been good in that regard. Gotten to meet many people that I don't think I would have ever had the opportunity to otherwise.
Well, as far as your website, do you promote it at cons? Do you have a booth space, or do you do any of that kind of thing?
No. I mean, we've at San Diego, I guess you could say I sort of have a booth. I hang a banner. I go there every year with Splash Page Comic Art, and in the early days, I helped them out a lot more than I help them out now. Now I'm usually out of the booth most of the time just because I'm just getting around to say hi to a lot of people. But that was the only con or the only place that I've done any promotion. I've never advertised online. I've never pushed press releases out to those types of venues. I mean, because of the Comic Art L, I had this group of users right away that wanted to use the site, and it's kind of good. It's grown to where today we probably have, I think, about 150,000 to 170,000 page views every day, more than 10,000 unique visitors a day, and usually that equates to like 15 or 20,000 people coming to the site every day. So it was all viral. It took off, and the first 3 years we never even had ads on the site, and it wasn't until it just got so big and people started actually wanting to advertise on the site that we came up even with the concept of putting ads on there. And we do a lot of work with eBay. They're a source of revenue for us. That was something we just fell into. But the site just kind of grew out of control to the where I really don't need to do a lot of promotion, because, all the main people know who I am, and I do go to enough cons that anybody that I've maybe recently met online in the last year, I can usually meet them at a con and conduct things that way. So I'm very fortunate. I feel like the luckiest person that's doing anything in the comic book genre, just because of, this one thing just got so popular that everybody liked what we did, whether they've had some criticisms or not. Everybody adopted it as their place to show off their work and the place to sell their work, and it's just a very, very fortunate experience. I started out actually when I was younger. I wanted to draw comic books. I went and got my BFA as a fine arts. I wanted to be an illustrator, and I just kind of got sidetracked. I married a programmer who said, I want you to have a desk job, and I want you to learn how to get a skill that will actually pay some bills. So I picked up web development early on. But so for me, I get a lot out of it because I'm getting to hang out with people that are in a profession that I always thought I was going to grow up to be, And then even though I went to the complete opposite side and do the technical side of things, for me, it's like I'm getting to live out that life that I thought I would at least get to participate in at some level. I mean, I'm so busy with between running CAF and doing the other web development job, and then like I said, the miniature golf thing that we started here that thank goodness is only seasonal. don't have a lot of time to do any drawing or anything. I'm looking forward to the day when I can at least close one of these businesses down, not the comic art one. I assure you, it'll be the web development one more, so I can actually start, doing some painting or doing some drawing again, just to kind of get that feel again.
What trends have you seen in collecting? Terrence wants to know. He sent me a text message. What trends do you see in collecting currently?
I think CAF has given rise to the convention sketch in ways that I didn't really anticipate. I really felt like CAF was going to be a vehicle for published art. I mean, as far as trends, I guess as far as artists in general.
Yeah, do you see it going more towards convention sketches, sketch cards, pages, that kind of thing?
I think that most of the collectors are segmented. Like, I don't go after sketch cards at all, but there's collectors who only focus on sketch cards. And the good thing for them is that that's an even more finite group of people who are collecting original comic art. Go after the sketch cards. A lot of people buy them because, they're easier to carry around, but they're also cheaper, typically. As far as, there was a Will Gabriel, the very big-time collector, he recently posted, I think, like 20 pages from the Galactus issue of John Byrne Fantastic Four. I think it's like 243 or something. It's totally amazing. John Byrne art is, there's so much of it out there, but people, just can never get enough of his work. Dave Cockrum's work, has recently just gone through the roof, where you can't really afford a lot of his early X-Men work. And, for me, that I used to only collect X-Men, for instance, and I had owned about, probably about 8 different pages by him, and I ended up selling them all to fund that construction project. But then I wanted to come back into the hobby and buy, and, you know, really as a more of a buyer, and I wanted to buy a few pages back. I can't afford them now. you know, it's funny how things are cyclical like that, because I remember when I first started collecting, certain John or George Perez pages were just, you know, out of reach. Crisis on Infinite Earths pages were hard to find, and you know, there was a point in time like 3 years ago when a lot of the collectors who had those pages and were hoarding them started releasing them to the market, and you could just see the price of the Crisis pages going down. And now over the last 3 years, that particular series, people are, you know, started hoarding them again, so the prices have started going up. So trends are more, you know, I can honestly say that the economy has not hurt comic card collecting whatsoever. I'm quite certain that over $100,000 in transactions occur, you know, because of CAF every month. And I know that from what the dealers tell me, and what I know kind of goes on by the art that flows in and out of everything that we have, that although the economy may have slowed down some of their buying habits, the price of the art certainly hasn't gone down. And the sales are still relatively really strong. Like you see on CAF, there's more collectors there every day. So there's more people coming into the hobby all the time. And when did you guys start collecting original comic art? Is it recent or in the last couple of years? I mean, most guys start out slow, you know? I mean, they go to a lot of cons. That's where they get their first introduction to comic art. And once they're hooked, that's when you start going after you'll buy a few published pages, and then the next thing you know, you're spending $500 on a page, or and then there's the day it's $800, and then there's a day when you pull the trigger on a $1,000 page, and you thought you could never do that.
I'm so afraid of that.
But yeah, how long have you guys been collecting?
The first piece I bought actually was about 15 years ago. I went to the Chicago Comic-Con for the first time. I was 20, and I was just walking around, and in the same booth they had three pages from New Mutants Annual Number 4, which is the one I'm trying to complete. But sitting right beside it was this two-page splash from by Mike Diodato from Avengers Number 381, the big two-page splash. And it just blew my mind. I had no clue that you could buy original art. I had never even occurred to me, and I dropped $150 15 years ago on that. And at the time, it hurt. And, you know, after that, that's it. I spent my collecting money for probably the next 2 years just on that one piece. And but I got bit by the bug at that point. I think Adam was more recently, right? About 2 years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. I avoided it and avoided it and avoided it. It's bad enough I'm collecting these damn comics. I did not need to be spending my money anywhere else. And it all basically... First broke because I started becoming friends with all these artists. And then 2 years ago at Heroes Con, I think it was, is where I finally started my first sketchbook, because one of the guys, Brian, that does the podcast with us, said, "Hey, I bought an extra sketchbook. Do you want it?" And then I said, "Sure." So I've been avoiding now at this point. Now it's like I don't want to spend money. Like, free sketches are great. But I've now paid for one sketch in my sketchbook. Then avoided paying for anything, and then last year at the Heroes Con art auction, I bought original pinup art at the art auction. I've still yet to pay for an original published page. I got in the mail a Chris Schweitzer, who does Krogan's Vengeance. I got a page from him in the mail earlier this week, and I know that's going to eventually send me into the path of actually paying for pages, and it's just going to spiral for the rest of my life.
Well, so you're going to have to buy a portfolio to put that one page in,
yeah,
just to fit it, and then you're going to say, you'll be looking at all these empty pages, you're going to have to buy some art to fill it up.
Yeah, that thing's going, that's going on the wall.
Oh, there you go, that's good.
I've almost out of questions, Bill. The only question I have left for you, at least for me, is... with everything that you've done in the 7 years, what would you like to see comic art fans become in the future? What's your ultimate vision for it?
Like I mentioned earlier, right, the one thing I think is really lacking is the social part of it. I feel like I don't get to interact a lot with people on the site. And so I want to find more ways for me to interact with people, and thereby, and by developing those kinds of tools, will allow the collectors to interact more with one another. You know, whether that's just from chatting and getting to know one another, to being able to have easier ways to sell their artwork by browsing through want lists and making recommendations to people. And, you know, hey, I see you had this in your want list, so I've got these three pieces, and be able to send out an email that shows them the thumbnails of the pieces right through the site. And I think the more useful, you know, we can make it in those ways, because to me, you know, it's just one big, it's a giant art gallery, and unfortunately, everybody's kind of walking through it with their mouths closed, and we're not talking a lot. You know, so everybody loves CAF, and they always tell me what a great job I've done on it, but, you know, I just don't, I look at it sometimes, and I think that it's gotten, as neat as it is, it has this very stale quality to it, and a lot of that's just because we're not talking. And I can honestly say I held back a lot on wanting to do a lot of those things because, you know, being a Comic Art L member, I think today there's probably about 3,000 members on it, so there's lots of great conversations going on there. So I always felt like, well, I really shouldn't do that because, or, you know, I really shouldn't focus on forums or other ways for people to get together because that's already being done over here really well. I shouldn't get involved with putting auctions on CAF because eBay does that really well and these other guys want to do it over there. And I think there's so many more things that CAF could be that, you know, would make it such a more fun place. And to me, those are the, you know, some of the bigger things. I think, you know, and like I said, the forums are at least a better way to communicate is something that we hope to have wrapped up, you know, by mid-year. And we're already working on ways for buyers and sellers to get together a little bit better. But for me, I'd like it to be more like a magazine. I'd like to think that I could come up with a regular monthly set of things that we do that people can participate in and, you know, and just find a different way to enjoy the site. Have guest curators put together a show of, you know, all their favorite Doc Savage, you know, art. Hmm. And then the next month have somebody who's going to pull together and pull together in a way like you just go out and be able to find the pieces that you want to have in the show. You know, and do things like that, because that'll keep the site fun. Or maybe not even do it where you limit it to one person. Just let people create their own, you know, kind of shows whenever they want. Because the great thing about that is, I mean, it's raising the awareness of artwork that maybe people wouldn't have seen otherwise. There's so many cool pieces of art on the site, and you find it, and you look down at the impressions, and you've looked at 45 times, and it's been up there for 2 years, and you're wondering, how in the world has this piece not been seen by anybody? That's the kind of stuff that, you know, that's where I kick myself. It's like, I got to figure out how in the world can we get people to see all this great artwork that's on here. And so, but I think that it's the social aspect that we've missed all along that keeps a lot of this artwork hidden from view. Because if there's this cool piece out there, if there was a way for me to, at the moment I saw it, talk it up. You know, you see it. I mean, it's so common anymore on blogs and whatnot where you can hype something or recommend something. We don't have any of that on CAF. If I could find a piece of artwork that I thought was totally cool and I wanted people to see it, and I could get Joel and Adam to be people who thought that who could watch what I hype because, you know, they think that we all have similar tastes, and I find this thing on CAF and I can basically recommend it to you, it would be so, you know, so cool if either you got an email or the next time you went to CAF there was this new list of things from the people who you were watching of artwork that they're recommending you to look at. And again, those are all things on my wish list, but those are the things that I think if we can evolve CAF to that, it'll just make it so much more fun and take it out of just the staunch, you've got your gallery and your gallery rooms and it's nicely organized. I mean, taking it to a place where I think we can all appreciate the artwork and everything that goes into that much more than just looking at pictures on a wall, where you're really having fun with the other collectors and discovering things that you might not have ever seen before. That's really where I'd like to take things.
I don't have any more questions. I would like to thank you for doing the interview, and especially thank you for doing the site, because without you doing it, who would?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure somebody. I had a conversation with a bunch of people on the Comic Art L recently where, you know, we were talking about the evolution of the hobby and CAF, because we had just finished doing the best acquisitions of 2009, and and everybody was saying CAF was the end-all be-all. And I said, you know, I'm sure something else will come up. I mean, whether it's a Flickr or somebody comes up with some easier way to do what we're doing, something else, you know, will eventually come along that would replace it. You know, but we were listing out the evolution, you know, of how people bought art. CAF is at the top of that now, but there were so many things that came before it that it just stands to reason that there'll be so many things that come after it.
Right.
And, you know, the only thing I can hope for is that, you know, in some way or another, I'll be involved with whatever those things are as they kind of evolve out of CAF. You know, but that's the exciting thing about it. You know, you just never know. I always feel very fortunate to have made something that everybody, you know, has found so much joy and appreciation out of. But to look at it and say it could be very short-lived. You know, at some point, somebody, you know, what's the next evolution past the internet? You know, you've got Apple coming out with their iPads and whatever else. I mean, you'll have people carrying their collections around on those. And
yeah,
if I don't come up with a web app to allow you to export your collection to, you know, to that, somebody else might. Yeah. You know, I mean, you have to keep thinking what's going to be the next thing, because, you know, if I don't have to carry my portfolio around and I can carry an iPad around with great scans of my artwork on it, that just saves me the trouble of, you know, hauling all that stuff on a plane and taking it around, you know, halfway around the country to show it to some people and, you know, at the next con I want to go to. I mean, those are the things you always have to kind of be thinking about to take things to the next level. And it might not be a part of CAF. It could be something totally different. I do appreciate the time that you guys have set aside. I know that I can be kind of long-winded sometimes.
No, I just wanted to thank him for making the website. And like I said, for all the changes you want to do, I do find it to be... the first 5 minutes are a little disorienting. After that, I found it to be fairly user-friendly. It took about 20 minutes for me to figure it out, and then I just jumped right in, so...
Yeah, I agree with that.
I do want to thank you for making the site and for keeping an eye out for the new people coming up who may not be as tech savvy. I appreciate you making it easy for me to do it.
No problem. Hopefully it'll only get easier.
Let me just wrap up by saying again, thank you, and look forward to seeing some changes, and I look forward to getting the rest of my art up there.
Sounds good. Look forward to seeing it.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, guys.